Welcome to 88.5 The SoCal Sound. I have Sir Chloe here, Dana Foote. Foote's how you pronounce your last name,
yes.
Correct? Okay. Welcome. Thanks so much for coming in the blistering heat to Northridge to come and play some jams for us. And you guys also, super fun playing the Kia Forum tonight, opening for Beck, Phoenix, Jenny Lewis.
So you just came out with your debut record, but you've already opened for some pretty big artists. Do you feel kind of like, wow, this is happening really? It seems like things really happen fast for you. Does it feel that way?
It certainly felt that way in the beginning because I remember we had played our first sold out show ever a week before everything shut down.
Oh my gosh.
And then
where was that show?
That was at Pianos in New York, which is like, I think it's like 150 cap room. And then we had 2 years of no shows. And then when we came back, our first show coming back was opening up for Modest Mouse at the Vic in Chicago. And then the next day we played Lollapalooza. And
those are two like big shows to just bounce back to.
Yeah, it felt really big. After we played Lollapalooza, I like got off stage and I called my friend, one of my friends, and I was like, I'm scared. This is scary.
That's pretty awesome. Wow. Lollapalooza, even, it's funny, my boyfriend's brother is in a band and he played Lollapalooza. And so we got to like watch a lot of the backstage and him coming on stage. Lollapalooza mm-hmm. seems like a very big, it's a huge, you know, playing a big festival like that. Have you played other shows as big as that or even bigger?
We've played a couple festivals
yeah.
since then. We've been really lucky. We just had a 6 week run in the EU and UK, and during that time we were able to play a festival every weekend of the tour, which was really nice. So we've played a few festivals since then, but Lollapalooza is, I feel, it's just such an honor, you know. And also Corona Capital in Mexico City was really fun. So we've played a few festivals, but Lollapalooza is just massive. It's like its own city.
Yeah, that's wild. Have you spent much time in Chicago?
No, I've spent a little bit of time here and there. My cousins live there, but not as much time as I'd like to. I heard the food is fantastic.
Well, now you live, okay, you're most of your band is originally from Vermont, mm-hmm. but you said now, we were talking beforehand, so you have maybe someone lives in Seattle. Do you still live in Hell's Kitchen?
Yes, I live in Hell's Kitchen, and then pretty much the rest of the band lives in Brooklyn, and then Austin, who plays keys, just moved to Seattle, and then we met in Vermont. We're kind of from all over. Emma's from Ohio, Palmer and I are from Connecticut, and then Austin and Teddy are from Seattle, and then we ended up going to Bennington College in Vermont, and that's where Teddy, Emma and I met, and then Austin is Teddy's childhood friend, so he joined the band, and then Palmer's my brother, so they kind of joined a little bit later, and Emma also joined a little later, but that was, we all met in Vermont.
How is it playing with your brother, like a sibling?
It's great.
Is it easier? Is it tougher?
I don't think it's easier or harder than playing with anyone else. I think.
Did you guys play music a lot growing up?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And I think we lucked out where we are quite well suited to traveling together and spending a lot of time in close quarters.
Do you have other siblings?
No, it's just us two.
Wow. That's pretty neat to be able to go on the road together.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
I love finding out about where certain songs in that are written. Can you tell me on the new album, so I've your EP that came out, Party Favors, I heard a lot of them were written like on the floor of your college dorm.
Mm-hmm.
What about I Am the Dog? Are there any songs on the album that were written in like some kind of unusual place or anything you can think of?
There's a song called Leash, and I remember writing the verse to that just on the subway. I was taking a train to the studio that Teddy and I work out of, and I remember writing that on the subway. But besides that, I think it's been mostly houses and studios.
And where did you guys end up recording the album?
We recorded the album at Sunset Sound in Los Angeles, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one where Pet Sounds was recorded.
Oh. Isn't that, I feel like that, I thought that was, that's not Sunset Sound. I can't think of the name, but I know of another band, a local band, Livermore, just recorded right in that same studio.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. The big wood panels, it's a really beautiful studio. It feels very grand in there.
So have you spent some time in LA. Do you have any LA hot spots that you love? Like you said, you seem like you're a foodie. Any spots that you have to hit when you're here?
When I'm here, I try to eat Fatburger. And I also try to eat at Mayura, which is an Indian restaurant in...
Where is that?
It's right by Palms. I lived there for like a few months. It's on the west side it's right by Venice Boulevard.
How about the Indian food in New York?
Indian food in New York's good too. Yeah, I enjoy Indian food everywhere. Anywhere I can get it.
I love in New York, there's a place called Panatu. Mm-hmm. It's a place that has all these crazy lights and probably a fire hazard.
Oh, cool.
It's a super nice spot and fun.
I've never been there.
Up into. So can you, you've played, you're playing three songs for us on the albums, Should I, Salivate, Know Better. Is there any one of those songs that came together in an unusual way or one of those that means a little bit more to you?
Well, let me think. Salivate was the last song that was written for the album, and... this was at Sunset Sound. John Congleton, who produced this record, and Teddy were tracking guitar overdubs, and I had gone into the artist lounge to write another song because we had sort of been told that we were missing a certain type of song going into this last stretch of recording. And so
who ends up telling you that, and did you feel the same way?
Well, our label told us that, and I did agree. Their note was specifically a song that missed urgency, and that we were missing a song that had urgency. And I did agree because we had a lot of songs that started really slow and then kind of bloomed into something else. And John would actually say that it's these songs that are kind of like easing an old man into a warm bath. And they wanted more songs that like started right off the bat, you know, something, you know, movement, something exciting. And we wanted just to provide more options to show to the label at this point. And We had all been kind of toying around with melodies and lyrics, and then they had gone to track something, and I was like scrolling through my voice memos, and I found one from years ago where I had done a version of the initial like opening guitar lick, which doesn't sound like that anymore because Teddy did change it, but I played that, and then I wrote Salivate in like, it was like a couple hours, and then I came back in, and then we all came back, and then John's idea was to put the chorus into 7/8, and then Teddy had changed that guitar lick, and that was a song I think that just came together quite fast, especially after we'd written for the album for about 2.5 years, and by the end it was feeling a little bit like we were forcing things out of ourselves, which is, I think, really great practice for writing. But that was something that felt like it actually came really easily, which was nice.
Yeah, it seems like, especially if you're getting sort of an assignment in a way, that could be like a pressure, like, oh my gosh, we have to come up with something. Do you always find yourself, like, are you constantly leaving yourself voice messages? Like, how do you keep ideas so that you don't lose them?
Yeah, I usually just go into voice memos and I'll do, you know, sing a little something. Or if I'm noodling around on the guitar and I just want to remember something, I will just open voice memos because it's so quick.
Yeah. Now, your album has a lot of references to, obviously, it's I Am the Dog. Dogs, I think one of the songs is, isn't it referencing goats? Mm-hmm. What's the theme with, like, what brought you to, I know you have an older song, Animal. Like, mm-hmm. what brings that out in you, writing about all that?
You know, I was thinking about this morning, actually, because animals have always been such a consistent theme in our art and also lyrics. And I think animals are just a wonderful metaphor because I think as people we project a lot of ourselves onto animals, and they're also beautiful. They're fun to watch. It's fun to be a part of an animal's life. And I've always been fascinated.
Do you have pets yourself? I mean, it might be hard on the road.
Yeah, I grew up with a couple of dogs, and I grew up with three dogs and three cats. And now my parents have three dogs, which I can visit. I don't have animals now because my schedule, it's not suited to my schedule.
Yeah.
But I really like animals. I think about them a lot, and it wasn't intentional. It was just one of those things where it just sort of found its way into everything. The original idea for the album, I wanted it to be a concept album where I was writing entirely from a dog's point of view.
Oh, that's great.
It didn't work out that way just because of, it was our first album where we were collaborating with a label and, you know, things change. But the first song that was written for the record was I Am the Dog. And at the time I was living with a dog and I was writing that song from her perspective. And so,
and wasn't it a dog? I thought I read something like it was a kind of an aggressive dog.
Yeah,
that's a big difference too.
I know. Yeah, she had been through a lot. She was a rescue, and it. Yeah, we were training her. She's very happy. She's very well adjusted now. But at the time, you know, she was just adjusting to being in a new home with strangers,
scared,
and
yeah.
It's a lot for a dog. And it was certainly my first time adjusting to being with a dog who had experienced trauma, and learning the language that she was speaking was really interesting. And I was thinking a lot about what's going on in her head, because I feel like there are dogs that I have met where the communication feels really clear. And with her, it definitely felt like there were layers of things, and she was trying to communicate things, and it was very clear that she was frustrated by certain things, and that was kind of what that song was about.
It is kind of neat to think about dogs and humanity just in general, and just things that have happened to dogs, and you know, mm-hmm. you meet all kinds of animals on the street or whatever,
yeah.
And it's like humans, your reaction is based off of what's happened to you and
yeah.
who's around you to help you kind of get your way through.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. I wanted to ask you a question about on your EP, you have the song Michelle. I don't know exactly who that's about, but is Michelle pissed? And do you still hear from Michelle?
You know, I heard from her about a year ago. And she has no idea that the song is about her. She wrote to me and she was like, I listen to your music all the time. I love it. You should, you should come over sometime. And if she knew that it was about, she wouldn't be happy if she knew. So yeah, she has no idea.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming by the station. It really was so great to talk to you, and you guys sound so good. I'm excited. I heard though, you're gonna get into some Taylor Swift traffic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that insane? SoFi Station, Stadium and the Forum, like right next to each other.
I know.
And now you guys got a battle. So good luck in your battle tonight.
Thank you.
But also have so much fun on the tour with Beck and Phoenix. Also Jenny Lewis.
Yes.
Super fun. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having us. It was a pleasure to be here.
You call, I answer. Open the door, I enter. The glow, the candor of feeling like no other. nothing would have gone the way I wanted. If I had waited, nothing would have happened. Nothing would have gone the way I wanted.
Think I'd rather not know. Think I'd The SoCal Sound sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.